Hare Krishna. Dobrodošli. Kako se? Dobro. Nija. Jako.
So for the last four classes, we've been speaking on one particular subject only, and that is preaching. We've been exploring different examples of successful preaching, what preaching means, some of the obstacles that we encounter when we try to give Krishna consciousness to others. Scriptural statements based on Srila Prabhupada's encouragement for devotees to take up the mission of preaching Krishna consciousness. And one interesting statement that I came across, which I found very heartwarming or maybe encouraging, is that the success of preaching is considered second. The first thing is the desire to preach, which means that even if there is no apparent success, apparent means there's some desired results and it doesn't come, still, because if one takes up the mission of Lord Chaitanya and the Acharyas, one becomes recognized by God. And Prabhupada made that point, that even if one is not successful by their endeavors in preaching, simply if they make the effort, they get recognized by the Supreme Lord. And we all know, to get recognized by Krishna means your life has become successful. So, therefore, how much our movement centers around giving Krishna consciousness to others. There's one little story that kind of illustrates Prabhupada's understanding of what is actually success. Whereas, this was in 1966 in New York, where the devotees had gradually were coming to Prabhupada, and the movement was quite young, and people didn't have any real foothold in the philosophy or in the practice. But what made Krishna consciousness so powerful in the beginning was Prabhupada, and which kept it going was Prabhupada, and which kept it from sinking was Prabhupada. Prabhupada was everything. He was keeping us going, moving, inspiring us, and just by his presence was enough. But the way he dealt with his devotees, how compassionate and how inspiring he was doing as much as and more than the devotees were doing. So one particular program that the devotees organized was they had rented this huge hall. This was in 1966 when the movement was just beginning. And it was kind of fashionable, at least in that area of New York, which is the Bowery, to have somebody unique, different, somebody who's coming from another culture, from another tradition. It becomes a novelty and people take interest in that. So the devotees used that as an opportunity to advertise Srila Prabhupada. And so they went on whatever media they could, and they also used newspapers and put posters around the city area. And then the program came, but seven people showed up, and they rented a hall that could hold at least 150 to 200 people. So, but Prabhupada preached like it was thousands of people there. He was like a lion preaching to seven people. And at the end, and even of course during the time, the devotees were feeling like, okay, we tried, we failed. We really didn't bring people here. And then they expressed their unhappiness to Prabhupada. And they said to Prabhupada, only seven people came, and we worked so hard, and nobody came. Prabhupada said, didn't you see? Narada Muni came. That's what he said, his exact words. He said, didn't you see? Narada Muni was here. So we understand that You know, what makes something successful or what makes something unsuccessful is the difference between trying and not trying. Trying and not trying. And therefore, when you try to spread Krishna consciousness, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has such a strong desire to give Krishna consciousness to the world, that he did it himself, and he came and brought his internal associates from the spiritual world to assist him in spreading Krishna consciousness, it becomes such an important factor of our whole process of Krishna consciousness, that any efforts in that direction brings about the Lord's mercy and his empowerment. Miracles happen. I remember we were in one city in America called Cincinnati, Ohio, and we had connected with one disc jockey who had a radio show. And this radio show was quite popular. It was a 3-hour talk show where he would invite interesting people on, and then there would be interviews and questions, and people would call in from the outside. So this started at 9 a.m. to 12 every day, and it covered 38 states of America, and it was more than 46 million people listening every day, average. So it was a big thing. Now this man, who was a disc jockey, happened to come across the devotees. He liked us. He invited us on. So we came. And I came by myself the first time, and he interviewed me, and we talked, and he wanted to create some kind of what they call jingle for breaking the stations, you know, for the station break, where they go offline for a while and then there's some commercial. So he said, why don't you sing Hare Krishna and we'll make that the jingle. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. So we sang, you know, the typical Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We'll be right back, folks. And so that stayed. And then he invited us again after 1 year, and this time he wanted more of us to come. So we brought the leader from the West Virginia community, New Vrindavan, to come. But it was an interesting time in America, in such that the area of the country where we were, which is considered to be like the farm belt, there's a lot of farming in that area, was undergoing a tremendous drought. And this was in July, this time of the year. And no rain had come for 3 months. So it was a crisis. Such a crisis that anybody who was found using water unnecessarily would get fined. If people were watering their lawns or just wasting water, and if they were caught, they had to pay a pretty good fine. So it was a crisis. So we came on. And this was early, and we started to, you know, he started to interview us about our Krishna consciousness. And then he switched the whole thing, and he said, can you guys make it rain? It's just the way he said it. And the leader of West Virginia said, yes. Now, he practically fell off his chair because he responded by saying, there's, you know, millions of people out there. You guys are going to be known as false prophets. There goes your reputation, whatever's left of it. Which wasn't so much at that time. our leader of our community, he said, no, we can do it. He said, how are you going to do it? He said, we're going to chant Hare Krishna, and we're going to ask everyone in Radio Land to chant with us. And if everyone chants, it'll rain. After 3 months of, you know, intense drought, the weather reports were no rain coming up either. So we get on there, and for a couple minutes we sang the Hare Krishna mantra. And so that, you know, that went on. So then we went back to the interview. Now 2 hours later, we're still on the show, and there's a call coming from one of the weather reporters who rides around in her cars and gives the weather reports to the stations. He said, "Hey, Bill," his name was Bill, "hey, there's some clouds up here." So that was the report, and the show ended at noon. 2:30 that afternoon, I remember, a huge downpour, torrential downpour. I mean, it was really raining. It rained for 3 days straight. So I was thinking, must have been a lot of people chanting out there. So, of course, you know, we understand that you're not supposed to use the holy name for something material. But here was an opportunity to get people to chant. Now, after that happened, the disc jockey, his name was Bill Cunningham, he had some influence in the city council in Cincinnati, and he went to the mayor's office and said, "The Hare Krishnas had broke the drought, so we want to give them an award. What can we give them?" So the mayor became inspired, of course, and they gave us the highest award in the city you can get, which is called the Key to the City. So they give you this big key. It's about this big. It's made out of different materials, and it's engraved, and it's all decorated. And they presented you in a very ceremonious way. And so they did that, and they congratulated us. "Thank you for making it rain. You saved the world." Well, you saved us anyway. So there was an opportunity for preaching in such a powerful way. And then we understood that you can preach in any situation and anywhere at any time. Because the idea of preaching is really to somehow make people favorable to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we have this conception of preaching that you have to have a position, or you have to know a lot of shastra. That's nice, and that's also very helpful. But preaching is simply a desire of the heart that I want to give Krishna consciousness to others. And when that arises within one's heart and mind, Krishna will inspire that person to do something. And either, you know, give a person a book or some prasadam, invite them to the temple. We were exploring different ways that we can preach through various medias and through various programs. So we came up with about 30 different types of ways you can spread Krishna consciousness. And so this is a very important part of our whole process, because Srila Prabhupada, I don't want to tell you what to do, but Prabhupada was always telling us what to do. And Prabhupada told us, every one of you must preach. He didn't say should or could, must preach. He said, this is Lord Chaitanya's order, that everyone that has Krishna consciousness must give Krishna consciousness to others in some way. And he quoted Lord Chaitanya, "By my command, be guru, save the land. Wherever you meet, tell them about Krishna. Wherever you meet, tell them about chanting of the holy names. If you do that, then you will never lose my association." He said it. This is Lord Chaitanya's exact words from Bhajya Leela. So, how dear this service is to Krishna, and you're about to embark on this most powerful program of Padayatra. It is very, very effective in reaching people. Because if we stay in our houses, if we stay in our little areas, we can't really do much. When we get out and make some effort to go out and meet people where they are, then things change. Devotees become inspired and people actually come forward and take... Like just yesterday we did Harinam, and I left the Harinam a little bit early to come back, And when I was coming back, I was walking with Nandavardhan, and we were just walking together, going to the car. And there was this lady riding a bicycle. And she was riding, she was coming from the opposite direction. And all of a sudden, she just looked at us, and she got this huge grin on her face, and was just like, wow, who are these people? And then I reciprocated by offering obeisances like this. And then she was, you could tell she was even more pleased. So she made advancement simply by appreciating a devotee. So if we're out there with our, devotional clothes, or out there doing something Krishna conscious, so many people benefit. And nowadays, we can look at the political and social and economic situations of the world. It's pretty bad. It's getting worse. In terms of the leaders have no regard for who they're leading, nor are they qualified. And so they're always making plans to get more and more money, more and more property, and try to politicize their way into different areas of the world. So there's a lot of tension in the world now. People are really, really disturbed. I just read this statistic from the U.S. News and World Reports that within the last 2 decades, the suicide rate in America has increased 25%. We're making progress, right? This is our progress. So since 1998 to 2018, 1/4%, 25% people are... And if you understand the process of suicide, you know one thing, that most people who attempt suicide are not successful. So these are the people who are successful. So you can imagine how many people attempt suicide and somehow fail. So then the world's in a pretty sick situation. Everywhere it's like that. People have no real goal in life. They're simply trying to enjoy their senses and somehow trying to find some kind of stability in their family life or in some kind of economic success. So it really, we have been asked by God to save the world. And Prabhupada said that. He said that. He said, this Krishna consciousness movement will save the world in its darkest hour. He said that a few times. So we have been given this legacy, coming from God himself, to make this Krishna consciousness available to people in different, in one form or another. And everyone can do it. Whether you do it individually or you do it collectively or you join someone else who's doing it, everyone should be thinking, what can I do to give Krishna consciousness to another person? And Prabhupada said something really, really, what we say, heartwarming, in the sense that he said, if you bring one person to Krishna consciousness and that person goes back to Godhead, even if you're not qualified to go back, you go back. In other words, if you bring someone to Krishna, Krishna will bring you also. That's how, what we say, magnanimous this movement is. So this is how compassionate the Lord is. The Lord loves everyone because he sees every living entity as his part and parcel. He doesn't discriminate between one person or another. Jai Shri Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai. So the Lord's love is perfect. And what is that love? He wants to see everyone become his devotee because he knows that's the only thing that will give them satisfaction in life. So if we make our efforts in that direction, and this Padayatra is a great, great opportunity. So I was talking to Ananta just a little while back. I was saying, how many devotees will come On the Padayatra, he says, I'm not sure. So it's really not clear. But why don't everybody here come, and then all of you, each one of you, find at least two more people to come. And then the idea, see, one of the ways we spread Krishna consciousness is everywhere they look, they see us. They can't get us out of their vision. In Russia, there were some newspaper articles that everywhere we go, we see the Hare Krishna books. They're everywhere. Devotees in Russia have put books everywhere. And if they haven't been a place where there's a book, they think about it and then put a book there. Stores, shops, malls, libraries, hospitals, you know, you just name it. There's books everywhere. So that people can't forget us. There was one story in book distribution. This was in India. It was during a marathon time where the devotees were out and they were near one train station in Bombay. So this one man was passing and one devotee came to offer him a Bhagavad Gita. The man pushed the boy, you know, I'm not interested, and he kept walking. So he's walking a little ways and there's another devotee. So this man gets approached again, and again he dismisses the devotee. Now he's walking a little farther and another devotee's there. And then he thought, three times, there must be something to this. So he stopped and bought a book. So, you know, they can't get us out of their hair, so that's one way of... We don't have much hair for them to get into, but anyway. The point is that this is how Prabhupada wanted our movement to be spread, by flooding the world with Krishna consciousness literature, and have devotees going in every, being in every walk of life, from the ordinary job workers to people in parliament to people in big positions like that. And Krishna consciousness will spread from the inside out. And we'll work our way in, and then one day they'll wake up and everybody will be Krishna conscious. One reporter wrote an article like that. He says they're everywhere we go. We hear about this Krishna consciousness. One day we're going to wake up and it's all going to be, we're all going to be Hare Krishnas. He wrote an article like that. So yeah, this is, because we have something and people know it. They can't really completely understand it because they're involved with material activities. But they know one thing. When they see a devotee, they see a devotee. This person has something. The best preaching is the devotee. When they meet a devotee, the devotee is respectful. A devotee is, what we say, a gentleman. A devotee is always the best in every situation. And then they see, devotees are also happy. These people are happy. They have something. On one Rath Yatra in London, there was the devotees were chanting and dancing in front of the carts. And some one lady, she came up to Kripa Moyaprabhu, who's the father of Janavi, and she was crying. She said, "What are you singing?" It's just making me cry. And she was crying out of happiness, not it was some misery crying. She was feeling so happy. She said, "What is this? What are you singing? What is that words?" So, you know, you never know who's out there. There's many people who are just ready to get a touch of the spiritual energy, and then their life changes like that. So to be out there, or even if we can't always be out there, we should be thinking how to preach in some form or another. We went to jail 2 days ago. It was Thursday, actually, in Glina, in Croatia. My experiences with the jail programs in this area of the world is that generally it's not very enthusiastic response. But we keep doing it anyway. So I'm talking to the organizer and he's bringing us to the place. So I said, how many people will come? He said, maybe 7, maybe 8, we're not sure. So when we got there, there were 15 inmates who came. And they all sat down and they were like, they check you out. They really check you out. It's the only audience that I know of that is not favorable. Because wherever you preach, the audience is always favorable, right? Everyone's on your side. They want to hear the best. But not in jails. They want to test you and see what you got. So it was myself, Prem Murthy, and one devotee named Bhakti Roboto. So it was the three of us. So, you know, I'm thinking, what we're going to do here, but let's try anyway. So we did a little kirtan at the beginning and nobody sang. And we tried to get them to sing. So I gave my lecture, I talked about karma, reincarnation, and how you have to get the results of your karma, whether you're in jail or out jail. I gave him a lecture that wherever you are, you're going to have to suffer. That was the point of my lecture. So don't think, no, the idea was, you're thinking if I get out of jail, I'll be okay. No, I kind of killed that whole idea because, right? That was the lecture. Because it's your karma and you carry that wherever you go. So whether you're inside jail or outside. So I said, if you want to change your karma, you can do it wherever you are. And you can do that by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. So we were emphasizing that. And then there was questions. And so many questions. And then one question after another. And then finally, at the end, we did another kirtan. And this time, practically all of them were chanting, right? And one guy was almost crying. He was on the verge of, his eyes were misty. He came up to me, he was from Montenegro. And he came up to me and said, I almost cried. So, you know, this is an example, is that we were thinking, okay, we'll just go because we were scheduled to go. I wasn't thinking we'd get much results. But it was such a wonderful program that I was really thinking that, just like, I can't wait to go back again and try to offer again. So, any form of preaching you do, there's always some results. We told the story how one of my senior godbrothers, he organized a program of one professor, this was in India, to give a class on Krishna consciousness. So the professor invited all his students to come. Now his students weren't required to come to the class, it was an extra class. So one student came. And there was more than 50 students in the class. One student came. So the professor said, oh, let's go to my office. So they went to the office, and this devotee, he preached to the professor and the one student. The professor was nice and respectful, but that student, he just listened so attentive that after it was over, came to the temple, shaved up, joined, and became a brahmachari, and now he's one of the leaders in the temple. He's actually got a big position in the temple. So one person came. So you might think, oh, no success. But it just illustrates Prabhupada's statement that if you make an effort to preach, there's always some success. There's always... So you're about to embark on a really powerful preaching program, this Padayatra. I was there in 2003, I think, and again in 2011 or something like that. I wanted to come this year, but my schedule doesn't allow me to come this year because I think it's one of the best forms of preaching in Europe, this Padayatra. It's really, really good. And I think I've heard from the devotees that practically every resident of Slovenia has gotten a book. Isn't that true or something? Practically everybody? Huh? Every family in Sylvania has gotten a book. So you give them another one. You know, first grade, second grade, third grade. Just keep upping him like that. And then if they see the devotees chanting and dancing and, you know, touring around, they make progress. And so there's always, there's a saying in America, the more, the merrier. And so when the devotees come out in large numbers, the devotees themselves are inspired by each other when we come up in large groups. So this is a wonderful opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness and to please Lord Chaitanya. Because by pleasing Lord Chaitanya, then our life is successful. Like that. And there's so many amazing stories over the years on how devotees have been in very difficult situations. Like we were talking the other night how Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he was a member of the library party, and he was preaching in communist Europe during the Cold War. And it was Czechoslovakia. Now it's Czech and Slovakia. But then there was one country. So he was preaching in Czechoslovakia. And he went to one university there. And his job was to take Prabhupada's books and bring them to professors and get the professors to accept all of the books that we had in print at the time. That was in the 1970s, yeah, late 70s. And so Prabhupada started his library party with Satchirupa Maharaj and who else? Krishna Shachar Maharaj was also part of that. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami and many others. And they were going everywhere. So he was in this one university, and while he was walking along the halls, he saw two men following him. And he could understand they were some kind of secret service people. They had spotted him, or some security. And so Bhakti Tirtha Swami ran. He's fast. And these men started to run after him. So it was a chase in the university halls. Now, he gets to one area where he has to turn the corner. So he turns the corner really quick. And he looks and sees a name above an office. He puts the name in his mind and opens the door and runs in the room. The door was open. Professor's sitting there. He almost fell off his chair. You see this black guy coming running into your office. What are you going to think? And then immediately, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, because he had remembered the name, he said, "Are you Professor, you know?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Well, we have an appointment." And the professor said, "I don't know of any appointment." He said, "Your secretary must have forgot to tell you." And so he started speaking with him, and then he sat down, and then he sold him a whole set of Prabhupada's books on the run. So this is, the devotee will always try to, there's this four little sayings. Books are the basis. Utility is the principle. Purity is the force. Preaching is the essence. So utility is the principle. That means to use the situation you're in to turn it into something spiritual, something successful. And the devotees are utilitarians. They can see how to, they pray to Krishna, they get ideas, and Krishna inspires them, and they always make, they can turn something that is apparently difficult into something very successful. So it's based on our enthusiasm. If we're enthusiastic, then we can do anything. Enthusiasm is the life of bhakti. There was one track runner. She would say that obstacles are opportunities to increase my enthusiasm. Obstacles are opportunities to increase my enthusiasm. So when you're enthusiastic, you can do anything. And Prabhupada said, no, actually, Rupa Goswami said, enthusiasm crushes anarthas. So one is enthusiastic, they can destroy any negativity in the process, in their own spiritual life, if we remain enthusiastic. So enthusiasm means that I have something. What do I have? I have the mercy of my spiritual master and the Lord. I have the process of Krishna consciousness. I have everything. There's nothing I need. I just need to practice it and to preach it like that. If we can do that, we can do it in our homes, we can do it with our families, we can do it on the streets, we always do it in the temples, of course. If we're inspired like that, then you'll see something wonderful happen. What is that wonder? You'll see Krishna's magic. Because Krishna is a magician. He turns a situation into something wonderful when the devotees make some effort like that. He changes it. Like, what was the, there was an example. Forgot it. Anyway. So, back to the main point, preaching. So, there is so much emphasis for advancement or opportunities for advancement for one who preaches. We have our, I was talking about this morning, there's one devotee from Croatia. He's going to go back to Godhead, no question. Immediately. He's already back to Godhead. His name is Narayan Pandit. You know him? He's from Rijeka. He preaches in China and in Muslim countries. He does books on the street. So I was talking to him about a month ago, and I said, it must be getting easier in China. He said, no, it's getting more difficult. Getting more difficult. When he was in Turkey, what he would do is that he would go out and distribute books, and then after a little while, he would run back to his place, change his clothes, and go out again. Because he wanted to make sure if people recognized him, then he would just change it. And he would do this like every hour, just change his clothes and go back. And Prabhupada said, anyone who preaches in communist countries or in countries that are, you know, Islamic, where it's really difficult to even to you know, speak to people, Prabhupada said, I take the dust of their feet and I put it on my head. Prabhupada said that. When Bhakti Tirtha Swami came to see Prabhupada in 1977, when Prabhupada was in London, Tamal Krishna had introduced that your Ghanisham, his name was Ghanisham, he said, he has come to see you. Prabhupada immediately got up from his desk, hurriedly came to the door where Ghanisham Bhakti Tirtha Swami was, and he embraced him. And he said, your life is successful. He had gone behind the Iron Curtain and risked his life to distribute books. So I don't think we have to worry about big risks like that. But it was like that in those early days. And even in the early days of America, we were seen as a strange cult, and that people would just laugh at us. They would think we were ridiculous. Prabhupada said, first they will laugh at you, then they will hate you, and then they will love you. So I don't know exactly where we are, but we're somewhere in there. One devotee was walking down the street in the summertime. It was July. And he's funny. I think I have to end the class, but anyway. He's walking down with a group of devotees, and one guy is sitting on the porch. This is in America. So the guy gets up and says, hey, what's with the bed sheets? You know, So the devotee said, "It's too hot for blankets." And the man said, yeah. You know, so he wasn't fazed by the guy attacking him. He just came up with something, you know. And the guy said, that makes sense. So this is what it's like to preach. You never know what you're going to meet. You should be ready for whatever comes. But if we study Prabhupada's books or read Prabhupada's books regularly and keep good sadhana, we're always in the position to speak to Krishna consciousness, to people in general. Okay, so I have to end the class at this point. Do we have time for questions? No questions? Oh, kirtan? Oh, at the beginning. Oh, now. Okay. So we'll have to stop here. Well, thank you very much and have a wonderful padyatra. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.